You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns draft coverage directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Also allows you on that app to listen to Cleveland Browns Daily wherever you are, and also get every segment chopped up for you from CBD after the fact so you can listen to it on demand. If you missed, for example, our great interview with George O'Leary, the head coach of the University of Central Florida, and Blake Bortles, obviously, you can check that out later today, available on the app, and it'll be cut up. It'll say George O'Leary, boom, pop it on. Listen to me and Michael Regei chop it up with the head coach. Again, not overly effusive about his guy,
no.
Blake Bortles, but he did like his size. Vic would have loved that interview. Vic would have been all over that. Vic loves quarterbacks
right.
with size.
Right.
He would have loved it,
yep.
Absolutely. Michael Regei with me today, filling in for Vic Carucci off this week. And now we're going to hear from one of the best to ever play the game at the quarterback position, a man who threw for many thousands of yards all over the place. Warren Moon still does some work with the Seattle Seahawks, calls games for them.
Mm-hmm.
Close with Russell Wilson, obviously understands the quarterback position, and he was asking about the top three quarterbacks in the draft, Bortles, Teddy, John Football. Doesn't really believe any three of them are the kind of guys that come in and turn your franchise around from day one.
I don't think any of these guys are guys that are just going to turn your franchise around right away. I think they're all guys that probably need a little bit of seasoning before they really take over and become good quarterbacks in this league.
So, that's going to take a little bit of seasoning, says Warren Moody. Yeah, and he's one that his seasoning was in the Canadian football
league
He came in and started to just be that classic drop-back pocket-passing demon that he was in the NFL with the Houston Oilers.
Smooth.
He like George O'Leary just did, though. And maybe is Warren Moon more effusive and more with a strength of conviction about Blake Bortles than was Bortles' own head coach, George O'Leary? Let's listen.
I really like Blake Bortles just because of his upside. I think because of his size. I think the way he throws the football. And he's a big guy that can move around, and you have to be able to move around in this game today as well. So I think he brings a lot of good things to the table.
And you're right. He is a good athlete. He's got the size. He looks like an NFL quarterback.
Central casting, Nathan.
He's
if we go to central casting in Hollywood.
For sure.
They're giving you Blake Bortles at 6'5", 235.
They are absolutely. Yeah. No question about that. That's one of the things to like about him. Now, one of the guys who doesn't maybe have the build, and that's what we're hearing about so much, is he's got the narrow shoulders. He's only 6'2". He's only 200 pounds, 210 pounds, whatever. Teddy Bridgewater sliding. Warren Moon says, don't be fooled. He should not be sliding like he is.
Teddy Bridgewater had a tremendous career as a college football player, very accurate, but didn't show well in his pro day. And I don't think that should really drop him in the draft the way everybody's talking about that. It still goes by what you did on Saturday afternoons when you had rushers coming at you, when you had to throw balls under pressure, things like that. He showed he was one of the best in the nation in doing that in competitive situations.
And I agree with that. Again, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the extra 2 weeks now for the draft. Massive changes in valuations on players who are not playing football. You're not seeing them play football. Nobody's seeing them play football, and yet we're having massive fluctuations where some people think that Teddy Bridgewater, who at one time was probably the consensus number one quarterback, is now somebody being talked about as perhaps falling to the second round. And I wonder if that discussion would even happen if Geno Smith didn't fall like that last year, if it would even be on the radar screen.
You could be right. Geno Smith could, unfortunately for him, now be the measuring stick
sure.
and the barometer on that. But, Nathan, it was just stated beautifully. Again, we said this in our opening segment when we came on the air today. What did your eyes tell you on game day? And even when you were at practice with these football players, and that to me should always be your top the source of which way you want to go and how you shape opinions and your thoughts on the players that you are evaluating. Now, the other stuff to me, that's periphery. I don't care that much that Teddy Bridgewater maybe didn't show the way he wanted to on his pro day.
Me neither.
I'm sure he would have preferred that it went a little bit better, but to me, that's way, just like Nathan, I'm not going way over the top about the kids who did.
Right. I agree with you because, as history has shown, the best pro day ever belonged to Jamarcus Russell. He didn't end up being so good. Peyton Manning had a horrific pro day.
Don't even need to say anything about those two.
Don't need to comment on that at all. So is it overrated? Sure. The things that you like about Teddy Bridgewater should still be the case. And when you go through and evaluate players, you go with the tape, you get to talk to the player, but the tape is the number one thing.
Yep.
Get your evaluation. Then how does it work for what we're trying to do? You do have to fit that in, but as we know, coordinators can change all the time, so ultimately still you want that overall evaluation there and go from there. As long as there aren't character concerns, as long as you're happy with the leadership, especially at the quarterback position off the field, you should be in pretty good shape and be able to trust what you saw on film, as he said, what you did on Saturdays when speaking about Teddy Bridgewater.
NFL Hall of Famer Warren Moon, who's going to be in town here at the IX Center.
That's right. Coming up
for Hall of Fame weekend, by the way. And we'll get a chance to chat with him then. All right, Warren Moon, what about the young fella from College Station, Texas, that has everybody in a whirl?
Tibby.
Yeah,
that's right.
Jonathan Football.
He's one of the most exciting players to play college football, no question about it. He's a risk taker, and he gets away with a lot of those things. I just think in the NFL, some of those things he's going to have to take out of his game. He just won't be able to get away with some of those things that he did in college football, especially taking on people, being as physical as you like to play the game. I don't think you can do that in the NFL, or you won't be available for your football team. So if he changes a lot of those things out of his game, those are the things that made him special. Now all of a sudden he becomes a pocket passer. Can he do that on a consistent basis? That's something I'm really not comfortable with right now. I'd have to see him do a little bit more of that, but no question about it. He's an exciting football player that brings some very exciting athleticism to the position.
A lot of good there from Warren Moon about Johnny Manziel. I think what he was speaking, though, too, Nathan, about how is this going to equate to the NFL game. He said he's going to have to change some things about how he looks at his game and it fitting into the NFL style and that of his offensive system. My biggest concern as well, will he take that 9-yard quick slant, that 8-yard hitch if it's there, and not look to always make a bigger play? And a lot of that, as we know, at Texas A&M has been with his feet and his legs. And that is a concern of mine, and Warren Moon is someone who, when a guy of his stature begins to break that down about not just Manziel, but any quarterback, I'm paying attention, I'm listening.
Absolutely. He knows what he's talking about, and you can hear it. There is so much, you heard it in his voice, summed it up perfectly. There's so much to like about Johnny Manziel. There's so much exciting highlight reel plays that are made by Johnny Manziel, but at the same time, there's so many things that traditional football players and a traditional quarterback like Warren Moon or traditional football evaluators have pause with. I've seen him make throws from the pocket, but I've also seen him look right at his primary read, be wide open, and not throw the ball from the pocket. Can he consistently win from the pocket and play within the structure that is needed to succeed in the National Football League? You cannot just go out there and run around like a cat with your hair on fire and go crazy. You've got to play within the system. And a lot of teams are going to want a quarterback that is going to help win games but not feel the need to win them all alone. And Johnny Manziel, because a lot of the reason is he had a horrible defense last year at Texas A&M, felt the need to do that repeatedly. And he struggled with that at times, and that's one of the concerns with him. Then there's the off-the-field stuff. Doesn't bother me. I like what Johnny Manziel does. I think he knows about business. He knows about having a good time. And I think one of the things he's done this offseason is quell some of those concerns. But is Warren Moon worried about John Football off the field?
I would have been concerned before, but I think he's cut down on a lot of that. You haven't seen a whole lot of that as much this offseason. I think he's really dedicated himself to showing people that he's a much more mature quarterback, which is something everybody had questions about. You know, he did well on the Wonderlic test that shows he has the intelligence that you want your quarterback to have, and he had an excellent pro day. So he's doing all the things right to move himself up in the draft, but still what makes Johnny Manziel Johnny is those special magical plays that he makes, and I just don't know if there's going to be as many of those when you're playing against the talent that he's playing against in the NFL.
And can he
survive? Warren went back to that twice now, didn't he?
Yeah,
when
because that's the concern.
Him. Yeah, that is.
That's the concern.
Without doubt. And I'm with Warren Moon. I'm with you. Social life, that doesn't concern me. What he's done, Manziel, has done a, I think, a superb job of letting everyone know about what a gym rat he is.
Yep.
And how he's looking at it and how he understands how Brady and Manning and Breeze do it with the 6 o'clock in the morning in the facility and not leaving and turning the lights out, last one out at 10 o'clock at night. I do think he's understood that that's what's going to be required and expected of him. So you better put it out there right now that he's not only capable of that, but will do that and be a leader of a football team. He's done a nice job with that, I think, through the course of from Combine to now.
Yeah, he has done a nice job of that. I do think it's interesting at the Combine, though, when SEC defenders were asked who the best quarterback was that they faced, they didn't say Johnny Manziel.
No.
They all said
Aaron Murray, right.
Without question. But they also said it is the toughest to prepare for Johnny Manziel. The question that you have with Johnny Manziel are twofold. Number one, will those plays work in the National Football League? Against the speed, against the size, against the schemes, does it work? Can you just improvise your way? And I think over the long haul, the answer is no. You've got to be a pocket passer. Number two, can you survive? It came through in the Gruden's quarterback camp when he got knocked around and he said, how's your shoulder? What did you do this week? Did you practice? No, you weren't out there. Well, I need you out there. You didn't play well when you didn't practice. You didn't play well when you're banged up. You can't be taking all those risks if you're going to be my franchise quarterback. Can he settle down? And by the way, for a small guy, Teddy Bridgewater never got roughed up.
No,
he took that hit against Florida at the beginning of that game where he almost got decapitated, got right back up, made big-time throws against a very good defense, a defense that I think has seven people in the NFL now, carved them up. So it's one of those things. Obviously, I love Teddy Bridgewater.
Nathan's more effusive about his guy, Teddy.
I am, than George O'Leary.
That he didn't have a relationship
I'll give him
O'Leary was about Bortles.
I'll give George O'Leary some PR pumping up skills. All right, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network will be with us when we return for hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.